Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, May 5th, 2015. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am Dave.
You are. You are Dave. And Brian, are you Brian?
I am suspecting that there was a different object to Dave's sentence.
I am Dave.
We can all be Dave. Yes.
Right.
Anyhow, also, happy Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yeah. So it is.
Yeah.
I am Dave.
And I cannot wait for Bastille Day so that we can just party.
Oh, yeah. Bastille Day. Man, that's the bomb.
I know. The 24th of May? No, that's 14th. Queen Victoria Day, right?
14th of July, please, sir.
14th of July. See, what I'm doing is I'm confusing my Rush songs because Lakeside Park mentions the 24th of May, but that's a Canadian thing. That's Queen Victoria Day. Bastille Day was two albums prior to that, and, of course, honors a different day.
Dave, did you actually think this is perhaps April 20th instead?
No.
Okay.
No,
all right.
No, it's Cinco de Mayo. I've got my sombrero on. And
okay, that's good.
Ay caramba.
Yeah.
Anyhow, man, I get so messed up on Bastille Day. But that's not the point. Brian. Just
eat cake.
You know, I like to have my cake.
Well, and that's the day to have it.
Yeah. Yes,
the bread's gone. I mean, you're not going to find any bread to eat.
Just eat the cake. That's right. Brian, you wrote a piece yesterday that I just loved, and I thought we could kind of explore that a little bit. And this is about the imminent pending doom, Apple's downfall for real this time.
Totally this time. Michael Blair, who is he writes at Seeking Alpha. A financially oriented site, and he proudly brags about being a longtime Apple bear, which is just a sure recipe to actually lose money, because he also brags about selling Apple short, and he told us that he said that the Apple's zenith is behind us. And the nadir is on the horizon. Apple's lowest point in its history is on the horizon.
And that's what a nadir is, the lowest point.
Yeah, the lowest point of a person or organization is a nadir. I wrote in my piece that he's talking about the company that lived through Michael Spindler and John Sculley, company that lived through the enormous Quadra stuff, and more than a decade before that, the Lisa and the Apple III, company that tried to convince the world that the Mac Portable was portable and the TAM was a bargain at what was eventually $74.99 when it shipped. And, you know, the Pippin and eWorld and Pink Intelligent and Copeland and OpenDoc and that company, the company that almost ran out of money and had to turn to Bill Gates for help, that company will soon be at its lowest point ever, according to this guy.
Now, okay.
That point is it's almost like a particle, right? I mean, it's a very specific thing. Would it be appropriate to call that the nadir boson?
the devil particle?
Sure. Yeah, let's go with that.
I'm actually writing that down.
I don't know if
down.
There's a whole lot more depth on this one here, but yeah, sure.
I actually just wrote that down, Brian, or Dave. I'm going to look for places in my life to use the term nadir boson.
Yeah, well, just like you look for opportunities to wear lederhosen. I mean, it's one
as one
same.
Does.
As one does, yeah. Nonetheless, it's just, if you remember several weeks ago when I wrote the piece, just, you know, exploring the idea of what kind of faith you have at this point to believe that Apple is doomed. Because, I mean, that kind of belief is not fact-based. And to see these kinds of things, I mean, Apple's nadir, Apple's lowest point ever is just right around the corner to this guy. It's just fascinating. And the reason why is because Android is awesome, and Apple's going to start losing market share and yay BlackBerry. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Go ahead, Dave.
No, it is. I'm finished with that silliness. But this is different silliness, right? This deserves an absurd response because this is insane. How are they going to reach their lowest point? I mean, they had like 2 weeks of payroll left at one point until, you know, Uncle Bill wrote them a check. So how are they going to get to that point again? They can't get it. There's no way. And he says it's near. He knows how much money they have in the bank, right?
It says it's on the horizon. But, okay. But yeah, it's near. It's gonna be. Quote, in my view, Apple's.
Go ahead. Say what you're gonna say. Yeah.
Apple's best days for the iPhone are behind it. The iPad is in near free fall with sales down 29% year over year. Mac sales pretty much stalled with 2% growth over 2014, which, by the way, is factually incorrect. It was 10% unit growth. It was 2% revenue growth. So, like, on the one hand, like, he's talking about market share and unit sales being so incredibly important for iPhone, but then we get over to the Mac, and so he picks the absolute worst aspect of the – anyway, service revenue is growing at an anemic 9% in a market growing in the 20% range. At the end of the day, Apple is the iPhone and not much more. A few million units of Apple Watch or a few billion customer purchases through Apple Pay will not come close to filling the gap. If iPhone volumes drop 20 or 30 million units annually, and that's what I expect to take place in the coming quarters.
But okay, let's say all of this is true, including his factually incorrect statements.
Dave, we shouldn't let the facts get in the way.
No, we shouldn't, and we're not going to. Right. So let's assume all of that is true. How in the world? I think maybe Apple might not make a profit, right? If all of this were to come to pass, but they'd still probably be able to keep everyone employed at their current salaries. This is not Apple's lowest point because we know of Apple's previous lowest point. We're aware of it. It's actually the stuff of legend because it's so spectacular that this company nearly didn't make it several times.
And one of those several times was after Steve came back.
Right after Steve came back. That's right.
I would actually posit that Apple's lowest point would have been Spindler's, the end of Spindler's tenure when he's hiding under the desk.
Right, but they actually were making a little bit of money then, right? I mean, they weren't just heading for we got to, you know, sell it for cash value and hey, thanks everybody, this was a fun ride, you know. I think that point was near for Steve when he called Uncle Bill.
Yeah, it was, and that was after the Gilabilio had done, you know, all of the cost cutting, right?
Hey,
and
maybe this guy knows that Emilio's coming back as CEO.
Oh. Man, listen, Dave, you weren't here. I still posit that Gilabilio does not get the credit that he deserves.
I think that's true. I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you.
Steve played him like a radio to get him to do all the dirty work that Steve didn't want to bother to do.
Like, of course he did. Right. Right.
Sure. Well, yeah, Steve.
He was the wrong guy to continue on being there.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah, but he was the right guy to handle the dirty work.
Yeah, even if you took Steve, the potential of Steve Jobs taking over for him, and of course we know the history of that. We have the benefit of history here. But even if you take that out, I think he was still the wrong guy to continue shepherding Apple along at that point.
But he was the right guy to do the to start slashing.
He's a cleanup man. That's why they brought him in the first place. Yeah.
And he was the guy that brought Steve back. And people don't want to give him credit for that.
He's also the guy that Steve used to be able to get back.
Yeah.
Well, you can see it either way, but he if the job of a CEO is to do what's best for the company in terms of shareholder value, Gil Emilio made a critically good decision on as in terms of Apple's history.
Yeah, but it was it's not just a critical. I know you're talking about buying Next, right?
Right. Well,
but
yeah,
but I mean, it's not just that. He made the critical decision. He brought in Ellen. What was her name from
Ellen
IBM?
Ellen Hancock. Right.
Ellen Hancock, the yep. woman that Steve didn't like.
Yep.
But is the woman who helped identify the fact that that Apple's engineers were completely out of control and that Copeland was never going to ship.
Yep.
And he made the decision to bring her in. He also made the decision to act on what she said. I mean, there's a whole series of critical decisions that he made that are absolutely part of why we have a company to talk about today.
That's right.
All of which happened at a time that would be much easier to call a Nader Bosen than now.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
yeah.
And
I think the Nader Bosen already happened.
That's there was a Nader Bosen about, 8 months later. Steve's back in, back in charge of the company, and they suddenly don't have any money. That is definitely a low point. But I think the lowest point was during Spindler's.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Spindler's career.
Yeah. Certainly in terms of Apple being aimless, yes.
Yeah.
Financially, I might argue. In fact, I do argue with that. But
I think they were already losing money by then, Dave.
Right. But they hadn't hit that bottom.
Mm.
Financially.
Yeah. So they were sliding down towards their Nader.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, there needs to be a path to the Nader boson.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, nonetheless, it's going to just any day now. Any day. This is like worse than Trip Chowdhury saying that Apple, if Apple didn't announce the Apple Watch within 60 days, they would become irrelevant.
That's right.
This is even less sensical than that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it is. And although now Tripp can say that Apple totally missed their deadline and shipped late.
Oh, yeah. Well, announced late, too.
And announced late. Yep. There you go.
Yeah. So anyway, this was Apple Death Knell 69 in the Apple Death Knell counter. You're going to have links to it in the show notes there. What's your name? Jeff?
Jeff.
Right, Jeff.
I am Dave. Yes, definitely have a link to that in the show notes because it's an awesome piece of contributing. Yes. Oh, yes.
Excellent.
Yes. Okay. The other thing I wanted to take a look at real quick before we wrap up is the news that's just come out that Home Depot is not letting you use Apple Pay anymore. Now, just to be clear, Home Depot was never a partner for Apple Pay. The fact that it worked was simply a side effect of the fact that they had NFC capable credit card readers in their stores. So you could just whip out your iPhone and pay, and it worked beautifully, and they didn't do anything to hide the fact that you could do it. But now they've shut that off.
So they've artificially stopped it.
They've artificially stopped it, yes. And it looks like they've done it because they have a credit card transaction platform payment deal with PayPal.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I'm kind of thinking that this isn't going to do much to help people feel excited about going in and shopping at Home Depot. Now, I don't think this is going to kill Home Depot. This is not going to have a material impact on the bottom line, but it is going to upset a lot of people. And I'm assuming Android users too, because if they've shut this off, then what they likely did was they shut off the NFC support, which means that if you have an Android phone that supports Google Wallet or whatever, that you're not going to be able to use your Android device to pay with your credit card either.
All right, well, here's the irony of this. Home Depot is one of the companies that was hit by one of the biggest security breaches in terms of credit card data to date. And if there is any company that should want to move to a tokenized system to help reduce fraud and theft, it should be Home Depot.
You would think. And yet they've shut off the very system that provides them with that security.
Yes, and that is weird, and it's also weird I find it difficult to assume that PayPal is responsible for this, i.e. that PayPal asked for this or made it part of their deal. So far, PayPal hasn't tried to fight Apple Pay. So, you know, this
right.
could actually be more like a momentary thing while they get their system in place, or maybe I guess it is possible that PayPal asks for some exclusivity, you know, in exchange for promotional concerns.
Right. Yeah, it's possible.
The promotional consideration actually is what I meant.
I knew what you meant. I process or my babblefish fixed that in my head.
Excellent. Excellent.
Now, okay, so the other thing I'm going to throw into this mix is that Best Buy, not Best Buy, wow, that's kind of funny I said that because Best Buy is now supporting Apple Pay.
Mm-hmm.
Home Depot, they've been telling customers that ask that they currently don't have any plans to support Apple Pay, but if you want to use PayPal, they support that in their stores and on their website.
Hmm. Well, you know what? Listen, companies, retailers that are not supporting Apple Pay are going to be the losers for anyone that cares about this stuff.
It's true.
NFC in general. I mean, why? It's crazy. Why block this?
I agree. And Dave, it's like you took the words out of my mouth. Because if you're not supporting Apple Pay, then you're probably not supporting NFC. And that means you're cutting out everyone that wants to use what they see as more convenient, but also more secure.
The reason to block this is because you think that you can essentially beat Apple Pay in terms of mindshare and usage. And
let's rewind though with the whole the currency thing, right? That was created before Apple Pay. Right. Mm-hmm. The point of that was not to beat or block Apple Pay. The point of it was to save the merchants from paying the, 1.25 to 3% in fees that merchants pay for your credit card transactions. Right. That was the point of currency. And then it so happened that these agreements that they had in place effectively blocked Apple Pay, and nobody realized it, at least not initially. PayPal probably doing something similar. They are known as a merchant provider for having the lowest credit card processing fees out there. So, and especially if you're moving big volume through them, they get even lower. So it could be, look, you know, you make this deal with us. If you go exclusive with us, we'll go even lower for you. But that, I mean, man, it gets kind of crazy.
Well, that's what I meant with and PayPal could in turn advertise this for Home Depot, right? They could do something similar to what Visa, MasterCard have done, where they're promoting Apple Pay in commercials that are advertising their brand.
Yep.
Right. So that, you know, that could be part of the agreement. And the other part of the agreement is if you actually think that, like I said, that you can be Apple Pay and if you think that, you were wrong.
Yeah.
Right. I agree. And Apple Pay or Apple has shown that very clearly since the iPhone 6 launched, because Apple didn't do anything new. They just did it on the iPhone. And before that, people really weren't or NFC payment systems weren't really on people's radars. iPhone comes out and it takes off. And this is something that had been around for a few years.
Right. Yeah, Rite Aid and all of the currency partners. And I use that term loosely because they aren't actually taking. Currency isn't usable in most places yet. But all those partners were in violation for probably a year prior to Apple Pay coming out. There's nobody bothered to mention it to them, and I think most of them didn't realize it.
Yeah, no one cared because no one was talking about this.
Yeah, no one cared.
That's where it comes from. That's right. Yeah.
Right.
NFC, the thing, by the way, that was going to destroy the iPhone because Apple didn't support it, was on no one's, like the only people that cared were the tech echo chamber.
Right.
Right. And look at us now. Sitting here having discussions about how crazy it is that Home Depot isn't letting us use NFC.
Yeah, so, and Home Depot was going to end up backtracking on this just like Best Buy did.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's very likely.
That's right.
Hey, we're out of time. So, Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Good to have me here. Well, or something. Happy birthday.
Yes. And Dave, thank you for being here as well.
I'm Dave.
You are Dave. And listeners, thank you for joining us yet again. We will see everyone tomorrow.